James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We started looking at the book of James since last year. And the reason is we want to solidify the foundations of our lives as believers. Whatever Peter, James, and John have to say, we need to listen and listen very carefully, because these were people that walked with Jesus physically here on earth. They interacted with him. John said, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have handled, these were the things that they put down for us to learn, so that we can also partake or be partakers of the same experience. And the book of James is very interesting. All kinds of things. Sometimes it looks as if you are just jumping here and there. But this was a book that was written to disciples of Jesus Christ. In the book of James chapter 1, it says something. It said, James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So these were written, if you look at verse 2, it says, my brethren. So this was written to brothers and sisters, people of God, followers of Christ. And a whole lot of things are stated about how we should live our lives, how we should walk on this side of eternity. And we'll be looking at one of those important things. Important things that we have to look at and take note of as we relate with people. Chapter 2, verse 1. James. It says, my brethren, or my brothers and sisters, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. It says, do not. When you hear do not, that means don't. Don't do that. It's forbidden. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 9 of that same chapter, if you show partiality, you commit sin. And you are convicted by the law as transgressors. If you show partiality, it's a sin. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, don't live as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus Christ, and you are practicing this. Let's take a look at NIV. Give us NIV. We want to look at that word, partiality, in other translations. It says, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, he's a glorious God. He said, don't show favoritism. Don't show favoritism as we relate with ourselves and even relate with people outside, you know, the church. He said, don't show favoritism. NLT. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? If you treat some people better than others. He says, how can you say you hold? And the reason is this. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is founded on John 3:16. Say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in me will not perish but have everlasting life. God himself is not partial, does not favor some people above. That John 3:16 was not written to certain kind of people, certain race, certain ethnic group, certain gender. Today we have all kinds of biases, prejudices. Men against women. Some people just don't like women. Some women just don't like men. And they categorize everybody. Maybe because of one experience or the other, but you just can't stand men.
or you can't stand women. That's a bias. That's favoring another. Some people don't like pastors. Some church members don't like pastors. They have their opinions. That's a bias. Hey, all pastors are like this. And some pastors too. They have their biases. They favor some people above others. They are partial. Oh, this one is from my tribe, or that one gives money. You know, all kinds of things that happen. But in the body of Christ, as followers of Christ Jesus, we are not supposed to. There's a bias of the rich against the poor. We're going to see it in verse 2. That's the example that James gave. Rich people, they can't relate with poor people. They see them as. And poor people too sometimes have bias against the rich. You just can't stand anybody that is well-to-do or that is richer than you or whatever. You can't just stand. You already have an opinion, general opinion about, oh, that's the way they are. That's not true. Look at verse 2 of that same chapter. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. Let's go back to verse 2. See the things about the man, about the rich man. It says a man. Gold rings. You don't know whether it's borrowed or fake. But it doesn't matter. Bling, bling. In fine apparel. Maybe it's borrowed. Or debt. The rich, they have wealth. Or he owns it. It's his own. And there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. These are all outward stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. The rich man will always wear good things. That's the truth. When we talk about even modesty, you know, being, what is modest to a billionaire will not be modest to a thousandaire. Am I right? Yeah. So, but if I just judge, oh, because she's wearing this. No. See, somebody else comes in with a filthy clothes. But this is where the problem is. Verse 3. This is what we do that is a bias or favoritism or partiality. And you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. It's very dramatic in Message Bible or NIV. Give it to us, Message. Verse 3. And you say to the man in the suit, sit here, sir. This is the best seat in the house. Recognition, acceptance, honor to the rich. Nothing is wrong with that. But this is where it is wrong. And you either ignore the street person or say, you better sit here in the back row. Can you see even the way of communication or talking to the rich man that is, you know, you're saying, sir, oh, you're welcome, sir. Ah, you know, when people come in, you want them to, you know, sir, you're welcome, sir. This, and that, and that. Fine. I'm saying we should honor all men. But this is where we go wrong. When we now look at somebody else that is not well dressed as a rich man. I don't know him. Just, you know, or you talk roughly, you talk sharply. Ah, that is where it is wrong. He said, you better sit here in the back room. Verse 4. Let's go back to NLT. Verse 4. Doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives. What will make me to treat somebody fine, good, and make me treat another person? Because I think that this one has value. This one, maybe something, some connection. You know, as a pastor, maybe we'll drop fat offering. I remember when we were growing up, the church where I grew up, when we want to do ikore, they would go and invite rich people to come and do the chairman or their chairperson of the annual harvest. And all the attention will be, we will sing, we will have practiced special song for the alaga. And sometimes they were Muslims. You didn't hear me. And we will special songs because we want the man to drop money. That's an evil motive. That's an evil motive. To have special chairs for the professors in FUNAB, in Rock Foundation Church, or for the doctors, and every other person, they can manage. That's wrong. That's wrong. He says it shows that there's evil motive behind that. Evil motive. An evil motive before God is a sin. Look at the next verse. He said, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Is the question. He says, has God not chosen? He said, listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? And they're the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him. That's a common truth for everybody. Regardless of who you are, when you come into the kingdom of God, you have the opportunity, you have the privilege to be rich in faith. And whosoever you see today wearing rags, or his mouth smelling, or can't even feed himself, you don't know where and what God can do with such a person. When that person begins to walk with God and becomes rich in faith and inherits the kingdom. So we have to be careful. Very, very careful. Not to treat people or disregard people by the virtue of where they are now, of what they possess now, and think that, I can only relate with rich people like me because these ones are poor. And the poor today, you don't know what may happen tomorrow. And you know, the next verse says this. But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? A poor man cannot drag you to court, cannot oppress you. It is the rich that oppress you with what they have, proud of their achievement, proud of their, possessions. That's what an average rich without God's sense would do. I know such people are not here. The rich here, they are wonderful people. But usually out there is a rich who will oppress the poor, who will drag people into courts, who will sue you, treat you anyhow, give you job to do and they won't pay. That's one of the things the rich people do. They know this thing is worth this. I used to have somebody like that. She can price from heaven to earth. You understand? And yes, there's a line of being skillful in making bargains. But there's also a conscious effort that you must make that you are sure you are not cheating that person. You know, sometimes you go to the market because the woman has not sold during the day. And you price and price. And you know it's something that is perishable. You won't say, just go. But within you as a child of God, you know that that woman is being cheated. That's part of what I'm talking about. You know that. That you have gained, though. That's what people, rich people do. Oppress. But that's not where, so what we are supposed, that's not the way we're supposed to live as brothers and sisters and followers of Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. And they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear. They slander, speak evil. There are some rich people that when you mention Jesus, when you say you're a believer and you're walking around them or living around them, they make your life miserable. Then, if Jesus can save you, why are you so wretched? Those are the rich that talk like that. And a child of God shouldn't talk like that. Shouldn't oppress the poor. Make them feel they are less than nothing by the reason of where they are now or where you are. Regardless of people's, worth in the physical, you must treat them. We must treat them with honor, with regard. Praise God. So, what James is trying to prevent us or telling us to stop, that we should not have respect for persons by the reason of their possessions or positions. That's not what should make you respect people and disrespect others because they don't have what these ones have. No. We shouldn't do that. We should not dishonor. We should not shame the poor wherever we find them. We should not dishonor them. To dishonor means to insult them. Insult their person. Make them feel so ashamed. They're already feeling down. Don't add to it. As a believer. As a Christian, as a believer, follower of Jesus Christ, you're rich, you have possession. It should be to uplift those people. Not just giving, I'm not talking about just giving material things now, but to give them a sense of value, a sense of worth by the way you relate and talk with them. That's what God expects. And that's primary way of even witnessing to people. Because they will know, they will mark that, of all the rich people that I've been working for, this one is different. Of all the rich people I've been serving, this one is different. Praise God. So we should not go about with wrong attitudes. And it's vice versa. Like I said, there's bias, partiality, favoritism, poor against the rich. Neither should poor people too go about with attitude of these rich people. You talk anyhow to rich people because you think they are rich and you must bring them down. No. That attitude is wrong. And nobody can help you if you don't help yourself. That's the truth. To stop seeing yourself and stop evaluating your life by the reason of what you don't have. What you don't have. Some of us would rather just, relate with people in our own clique. There's nothing wrong with that. You should. But don't despise other people. And think that, I want to need Jeep. I want to call it. Those kind of things that we do. Sometimes we say it jokingly, but it is what is in us that will come out. We can't relate with you. Levels need to change. No. We don't relate with ourselves just because of levels. We relate with ourselves and treat ourselves with respect, with honor, because we are all children of God. Washed by the same blood of Jesus Christ. The salvation of Baba Deboye is not higher than yours or mine. It's the same blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And I just finished the book of Genesis. It's so interesting seeing the brothers of Joseph.
Of course, they treated him bad and all of that. But you know, when the tide turned and they saw Joseph, prime minister of, they could not, Joseph said to them, I'm forgiving you, but they couldn't receive that forgiveness. They couldn't relate with him that as just normal brothers. Even when their father died, they still went to him. Our father said, there's no record of Jacob ever calling them to say such things. But they could not. And that's, you know, the mentality of, we wronged you. But this man said, I forgive you. You are forgiven. But they could not. And that's what stopped them from really relating well. And that's one of the things that, you know, disturb poor, in quotes, from relating well with the rich. It's your mindset. When you begin to think that, I'm not worthy. I cannot. Then whatever anybody says or does, you will interpret it by what is upstairs, what you are thinking, your preconceived ideas. That's how you will interpret. Even so, when they have not wronged you, you will think they have wronged you. Why? Because you think that, they are always like this. So wherever we find ourselves, we shouldn't think and base our judgments just on the physical, the natural, but on the tangible truth that we all belong to the same body of Christ. We are all children of God. And God loves all of us equally. So James chapter 2 verse 8 says this. Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. The primary way of handling these biases, partiality, favoritism is so simple. Just love. When you are thinking about love, when you see people and you are thinking about loving them, you are thinking about, that means you are looking at how to be good to them, how to be patient and kind, how to do them good. Because Paul said in Romans, says, love does no harm to his neighbor. If that's your mindset when you relate with people, regardless of what you see or what you don't see, then you're going to be helped. And it won't be about, what should I? That's when you make love your motive. What would Jesus do in this situation? How would God want me to relate with this person? It's to love. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. That is whosoever that you, God will bring your way, that permanently or temporarily, people you work with, in your family, in your neighborhood, wherever you find yourself. When you make love your aim, your motive, it becomes easy. You say, ask yourself, how will you want to be treated? Treat other people like that. When I look at you, whether you are wearing good clothes or rag, it doesn't matter. You are a person. You are an individual. You are an eternal soul. You were worth the body of the blood of Jesus Christ. And God has commanded me to love you. So it's not about what you have, where you are coming from, your gender, or your possession. No, it is, I have been commanded to love. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 9. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. If you favor some people, if I say, okay, in this church, I just like the Ijebus, because I'm from Ijebu. And Egba people, that's a sin. They say, women association, we want to stand against men. That's a sin. Or the very literate people, those are the only people you want to really, I don't want to say, that's a sin. We don't call that sin as believers.
We don't see that as sin. But that's sin as far as God is concerned. So when we don't see ourselves committing fornication, you know, adultery or drinking and all those sort of things. But when we do this and continue to do this, we are in sin. We are in error. Lawlessness. It says you are guilty of breaking the law. So I may be a child of God. Oh, I'm praying. I give my tithes. I support the weak. And I mean, I give to the poor. And, but I am biased one way or the other. I'm missing it somewhere. So God is bringing this to our attention because he doesn't want us to have any loophole for the enemy to come into our lives. And everybody that comes your way, how you treat them, how you handle them, you know that one way or the other, one day, we will give accounts. We will give account. We will stand before God to give account to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we have to be conscious of this. We have to be conscious and bring ourselves back. When you find yourself, like we're hearing Proverbs talking this morning, sometimes you are doing something right, then you miss it. Just because you have missed it does not mean that you stay on the missed road. You don't stay on it, on that path. If you need to call that person to apologize, I'm sorry the way I spoke with to you. Fine. You are setting yourself back on the right path of treating people with honor, with dignity. Peter has something to say about this too. And I want us to see it. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 17. It says, human pride will be humbled, and human arrogance will be brought down. Isaiah 2:17. I was wondering. 1 Peter 2:17. All right. What does it say? Honor all people. Respect everyone. And love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the King. King James says, honor all people. Older, honor them. Younger, honor them. Hello. Including your children. Including other children. People that you don't know. Honor them. You know what honor is. You give them, you treat them with respect, and you give them good things. That's that. Let's make that our watchword. Let's make that what we do to honor people. I realize that saying, yes, ma, yes, sir, it does not take anything from me to anybody. Bending down. You know, I just thank God that the way God helped my husband and I think the first few years of going around made us to see a whole lot of things in the body of Christ. Going around churches, we saw a whole lot of things. And do you know, that's how people just think that, without referring to the word of God and listening to God, people just imbibe things they see all around and they think that that's the way to do things. That's the way to relate. There were some people I had to literally, you know, turn away from. They are believers. I respect them. I honor them. I greet them. But I don't relate with them. Because what they teach, what they practice, they are totally opposite. And you know, I didn't know how much that was, that I had taken, that had affected me, even when we started church. That you got, you think that as a pastor, people should gather around you and respect you and honor you. And you should
make everybody your slave, that you run around. And when I started seeing the truth of God's word, I had to. Even coming down to the point of helping people or giving to people, there are some people who just feel that, as a pastor, how can you be giving your church member money or helping your church member? They think that it must be church members always. And sometimes they look for scriptures to quote, but such scriptures, they are just one. You can't find 2-3 scriptures. Bible says, out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let a matter be established. So when you are establishing a principle on just one, and one of those things they just use is the blessed. No, it's in Hebrews. The higher, you know, I don't know it. The greater is blessed by the lesser. Is that the way it puts it? That I am greater than all of you because I'm your pastor. So I should not give to you, but you are the one to give to me. You are the one, you are the one to respect me. You are the one to honor me because I'm your pastor. No. Before becoming a pastor, I'm first of all a child of God. I'm a brother. I am a sister. I am a brother. I'm a sister. My husband is a brother. We are brothers and sisters. And he says, honor everyone. There's no clause about respect this and don't respect that. It says respect everyone. Honor everyone. That's the way God expects. And when I set out to honor you and honor everybody, then there's no room for favoritism or partiality. Disregarding this and regarding that. No. There's no room for that. God will help us in the name of Jesus. God will help us to set things right. Because the younger generations, they are looking up to us. And you know, certain things that you do now, by the time you see your children doing it, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. I'm talking about good things, also the bad things. When you are a rude, harsh, brash person that talks to anybody anyhow, guess what? That's what your children will pick. That's what they're going to pick up. And they will now take it to another level, another degree. Someone said, if you want to marry a lady, go and check up his mother. And if they are good things, they're going to take it to another level too. So when we begin to honor people and respect people, regardless, our children are going to take it up. Everybody around us, they're going to see that, oh, this is the way to live. This is the way to live. Of course, it doesn't still remove the fact that you're a rich person. It doesn't devalue you. But rather, you'll be pleasing God the Father. It says, respect everyone, whether they are black or white, men or women, young or older, respect everyone. Including, you know, politicians, people in offices. That's one of the reasons why things don't work in our community, in our society. When people are put in power or in positions, we don't respect them. Yes, on Friday, Snapper was talking about, Bible says God set up the offices in Romans chapter 13. So as a child of God, when you work in a place and somebody is your HOD, whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's from your tribe or not, whether the person can speak well or not, you're supposed to respect that person. Respect that office. People talk down, they do all kinds of things. And that's, you know, you can imagine if you are an HOD and everybody is looking, they are like, oh, it's your tenure, do whatever you like, or this is your business. But we also hide that position.
You are looking for it, for your turn to come, for you to be in that office, to become the principal. The way you are treating the principal now, what do you think will happen when you become the principal? Whatever you have sown, if you come back in good measure, pressed down and running over, that's when we now turn around and say, they are not cooperating with me. How did you cooperate with the person that was there? Did you respect that person? Did you honor that office? We should be outstanding as believers. Unbelievers, they don't know this. They don't know this truth. But God is teaching us and reminding us. That's the way to live. That's the way to handle our lives and work with people. And God is going to hold us responsible for the truth that we're hearing. You have heard me. You have been hearing me. You have been hearing all these kind of things. And God is going to hold us responsible for this truth that we're listening to, that we're hearing, that we're reading. Because that's how he expects us to live. And it becomes easier for you to witness about Christ. The Bible says you should be ready to give the reason for the hope. When somebody around you is saying, this and that and that, you say, no, I'm not going to do that. And why are you not going to do that? Because I'm a child of God and Bible says this. Bible says I should respect. You know, we are so conscious of age. And people will incite your flesh. Say, no. Bible says, respect everyone. God doesn't want me to show partiality. I'm a child of God. I'm responsible to God. That's gospel that you're preaching. That's gospel that you're preaching. And you are sowing the right kind of seed in the heart of that person. And that's how to be the light in our different worlds and community. And people will see that, this person is different. And that difference is not just because we go to church, but because we are living the truth of God's word. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Can we just bow down our heads and pray? Let's ask God to help us to be able to see this truth in our own lives, in our family, in our community where you work, to see how you can practice this, improve on this as a person, as a believer. You see, you must not hold or practice the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious God, with partiality.
Our dear Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you because your word is to correct and set things straight in our lives. Thank you for bringing this to our notice this morning. We give you all the glory and help us to see how to do this better in our different individual lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's very interesting. When my wife was talking, I was thinking, there's no rich person here now. I mean, nobody says they are rich. We are kind of middle class a lot. But is that really becoming applicable when you look at your position, your hierarchy, and you look at what you are becoming of? Like now, when you're a professor, you are rich academically. You are the topmost level. Am I right? And if you're principal, whatever, or vice principal, you are part of the ruling system. But I just want to warn us. The reason why the Bible talks against the rich a lot is because the rich, there is a systematic lifestyle of the rich that by that richness is tending toward evil. The Bible does not attack the poor so much as the rich. Why? Because being rich gives you advantage that your flesh, and we all have flesh. At the moment you become a leader, you become a person at a particular level, it's part of you. Even as a pastor, all these things now, you know, it's part of you to just want to, you know. Many of us wonder why Christians get to the top and they start misbehaving. They got flesh too. It's not just, you know, so it's something you have to really stand against. Are you hearing me? I remember somebody who was in a place, we were in a place, and he was right talking about Nigerian leadership. He blasted. When he became a leader himself, he was worse than. So it's in our flesh. It's in our flesh. You know, I have to work against not demanding utmost devotion. I have to work against not trying to belly full myself when other people are hungry. You know, this are, let's just be honest, we are Nigerians, right? Ipola darao, Ipola. I had the man of God singing that on the TV. The day he saw a president going and they blocked the road, he said, Ipola darao, Ipola. Ipoyiwu mi ye ye. Ma wule debe, live life alone, but live life alone. Hallelujah. When I was a medical student, consultant, if you see a consultant, consultant. Oh boy. Praise God. So we that are senior level, let's calm down. Let's relate with our drivers, relate with our assistants, our messengers. Let's just do that. Praise the Lord. I remember when we went to Dr. Arriba's finishing in Sagamu. Everybody was, Dr. Arriba was very quiet, but he said, it was just, that's where we should be. Praise God. Your plumber, your whatever, praise God. Amen? Amen? You think you are not rich? I agree with you. But you went to school plenty. You are rich school-wise. You are different things. So let's give our offering. Praise the Lord. Choir, you got a song? Hallelujah. Praise God. I love church sometimes. Just practical things dealing with our lives. They help so much. Putting our life together. My wife and I, before the choir singing, my wife and I, we were discussing. I told my wife, I said, you know the book of James was written to the Jews. The Jews control the wealth of the world. In fact, I was watching a documentary that one of the greatest movers and shakers in Africa is a Jew that has moved to South Africa years ago, and they worked themselves. The banking system in Europe by Rothschild, they were the Jews. Jews. So Jews have propensity to be rich, and they will do anything. They become a mayor. I remember Rush family, they enter into Britain and they walk themselves into the parliament to change the law against the Jews. It's amazing. You know, so, all right. Let's pray about our offering. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus as we bring our offering, our tithes. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives. We are not there yet, but you are taking us along with you. And so as we go on the way, thank you for your instruction. Thank you for giving us how to behave, how to live. And with all this, may we be a light, a shining light to our world in Jesus' name. Thank you for our harvest we are getting back from this. Because you say, surely, a man will reap what he sows. So we receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give while they sing.
Mo di tolu wa mi loni. olope ni ti mo si je mo fa yoji be mi mona jo
ojo la ojo na ti jesu e eshe mi nu o pa mi ki ma batura kin ma shora.
There's no sekere here to this. I don't need this one. This kind of thing. The only problem is that those songs are long, different stanzas. So when I came up, I said, time is gone. Before he starts singing the stanza with English again, I'm like, oh. But you know, those songs are sweeter in Yoruba than in English. You know, in English, but, oh, John La, praise the Lord. All right, all the members of Deacon Stephen will be meeting today after second service in the upper room. Please, you're welcome if you want to join them. And we have a business break. Oh, let me just, before I go to that one. Let's talk about our men's meeting tonight. We are starting something fresh, something new for men. And They're not going to ask you to leave your house and come to church, which is not easy to come Sunday evening. Me, myself, do like coming for Sunday service. So we are now on Zoom. And this is the first time we'll be on Zoom in that kind of a way. So by what time? 6 to 7 something. So just come on by 6. The links are already there, both on men's platform and all the other services, they are on our platform. So please join us. It's going to be a time of prayer and testimony and enjoying ourselves. Praise God. From the comfort of our room or wherever you are to join. All right. So don't forget tonight. Saturday is our business breakfast. I don't like to talk about people in church, about testimony, businesses. People have really seen the hands of God, even the roughness of last year. So please. And it's breakfast and you're not paying anything. So come around. Praise God. It's time to go home. Anything else we need to do? Okay. Let's get up on our feet. I want us to, something is going through my mind. 29 verse 9, Deuteronomy 29 verse 9. Let's just read this. And I want us to just pray as we leave this auditorium. Take a look. 29 verse 9, Deuteronomy. It says, I'm waiting, 29 verse 9, Deuteronomy. Okay, let's get our Bible. Keep therefore all the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper. Keep therefore, and see, what we just had this morning is still part of the word of the covenant, am I right? So we are going to prosper because we are going to do this well. Amen, somebody. Can we just take your neighbors and say, Father Lord, thank you for what you have had this morning. Thank you for prospering in all that we do. This week, as we step out, we'll prosper, we'll flourish in all that we do. Spiritually, emotionally, maritally, financially, career-wise, we will flourish. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. We welcome this. We welcome the prospering that comes from being obedient to your word. Said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So we receive that. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name in the name of Jesus. Let's come against everything that want to stand against us. These mountains, evil spirits, circumstances that are negative. Let's say we stand against you as God's people. One shall chase 1,000, two shall chase 10,000. We agree against all that is against us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we bless you, Father. Can we lift our hands to the Father and appreciate him for this wonderful week that we are stepping into? Can you say, thank you, Lord, for this week. Thank you, Lord, for my life. Thank you, Lord, for where I'm going. Thank you for improvement on every side of my life this week. Thank you for adding to me. Thank you for adding to me this week. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Can you give the grace to your neighbor beside you? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Before we say surely, anybody you are here for our first time in our service, can I see your hands if you are here for the first time in our service? Okay, so we are all part of the house. Tell them, surely, goodness and mercy. Thank you very much for coming. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you so much.